is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and all nations under our feet.
Our hands, and where I'm from, they stomp their feet, and if the Lord moved them, they got up and they shout, amen. And I'm talking about from those who had money to those who didn't have money. It didn't matter, because they believed that their supplier is God, amen. Anybody here believe today that God supplies you with all of your needs? All of your substance, all of your provisions, all of your protection. Amen. Amen. If you don't believe that he is the one, you're going to find out soon. Amen. With this administration that we have, you're going to find out who God is. Amen. Because you're going to need him. Hallelujah. 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 Let's bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you. Thank you, Master, for allowing us to sit in your place of worship, to sit in your temple, to sit in your presence, to sit before you, to sup with you. And Master, we pray that when we sit down, that we allow you to come in. For you said that you knock at our heart's door. And you said if we open up and let you in, that you and the Father will come in and sup with us. Today, Master, we ask that you sup with us, that you become intimate with us, that you share love, kindness, understanding with us, share with us nourishment for our spiritual bodies. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 511.
Oh,
praise you, Lord.
Awesome, and he is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. Who in here know that the Bible says that man should always pray and never cease praying? I hope that you are praying. For the Bible says that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So I pray that when you fall on your knees and pray, you don't just pray out of obligation. You don't pray because you think God won't you to pray. But you pray because you have a relationship with God and you love him and you understand his love for you. And not only that you love him and that he loves you, but also that you can cover others. You have to remember that the Bible says that we don't have to pray for ourselves, for God already knows our needs. So if we don't have to pray for ourselves, then who are we to pray for? We ought to pray for others. We are the salt of the earth. Because we are the salt of the earth, we preserve those who don't know they need to be preserved. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to help somebody here today. But we ought to pray and be consistent in our praying. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come now to say thank you. For you are a God who's so big that we find that we can't wrap our heads around just who you are. We truly yet don't understand who you are. But the Bible helps us out by saying that we will only know in part. But one day, when we sojourn to cross over Old Jordan and we stand before you, we then will know who you really are. But Master, while we are on this side of Jordan, we come petitioning you today, asking you that you help us be able to forgive others who may have sinned and trespassed against us. And then, Master, help us to forgive ourselves, for many of us still yet hold things against ourselves that we've done in the past. Master, we need you in this hour that we can look to our fellow man and forgive him for what he has done against us. Because we realize that we are not fighting against each other, but we are pawns that's on a game board where the enemy is trying to use us to fight against you, who is the king. Master, help us to navigate through this journey. Help us to be better than what we are today. Help us to be stronger than what we are today. Help us to be more intelligent than we are today. Help us to be more spiritual than we are today, so that we can be what you need us to be in the kingdom of God, where we become disciples, where we're not moved by the wind, where we're not moved by storms, where we're not moved by things people do, where we're not moved by what people say, but we're moved by what you tell us. We're moved by your spirit. We're guided by your spirit. We're led by your spirit and by no other. Master, we ask that you give us this ability, that you bless us with these permissions and these privileges, that we can be what you have called us to be. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. let us bow. Father God, we come now asking that you bless what we have given here today. And we pray, Master, that everything that we use it for blesses others so that they can see that you yet are God and you yet still have all power. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen.
Spirit washed his blood.
How beautiful would it be to be able to praise our Savior all the day long. They tell me that when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to do. I can't wait. I don't want to go too soon. But I can't wait to sit where I'm in a place of utopia. No worries, no issues, no problems, no miscommunication, no misunderstanding. I'm sitting in perfect peace where I can praise and uplift my Father all the day long. Somebody need to know what I'm trying to tell you. What a beautiful time that will be, where I can sit and shout, sit and sing, sit because I'm sitting in perfect love. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for being such an awesome God that He's making a way for us to get there. Amen. 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 I won't be before you long. If you have your word, turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 31 through 36. Amen. Since I hear some pages turning, once you get there, say amen. John chapter 19, verses 31 through 36. And it reads, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to talk to you from this subject, a lesson taught by the Holy Ghost. A lesson taught by the Holy Ghost. And my proposition to you today is, know that you are forgiven. And let me say that again. Know that you are forgiven. Amen. That's enough to shout off of right there. Amen. If you were like me, I did all I could do, all I thought I wanted to do. Amen. But thanks be to God that He saved me. Amen. Amen. There are so many lessons that we could talk to you about from the cross. And many of these lessons are taught by all the members in the Holy Godhead in the Trinity. This lesson is one that's taught to us by way of the Holy Spirit, and it gives us the ability to exegetically argue that God was intentionally strategic about everything that occurred or happened in reference to the cross, all the way to the point where there were 70 thorns that was chosen in the crown that the soldiers pressed on Jesus' head. And to even add insult to them, selecting a crown and pressing it on their head, God allowed them to beat him in the head with sticks to create severe pain and severe bleeding. God was very strategic in everything that he did in reference to the cross. He did some things that perhaps we can't wrap our minds around because we don't think like God. We have to remember that God's way of thinking is so much higher than ours, that Isaiah described it as being as high as the sky or the heavens are from the earth, which means he thinks completely different from us. And it amazes me how people try to rationalize what God does. How can you rationalize something you don't quite understand? When you rationalize something, that means you can grasp it completely, understand it, and then give it a meaning. Lord, have mercy. That means you don't have faith. That's the reason why this walk that we walk is called faith, because there's much here that we don't quite understand. But we have to believe it because we trust in God. The Bible even shares with us that God does not operate like we operate. He operates outside of time. He's not constrained by time. And so when God thinks, he thinks outside of time. And when he thinks outside of time, he also thinks outside of what our mind can comprehend. It's important that we believe, and that we believe that in the fashion in which Christ died was geared for our salvation. He couldn't just die any old death. He had to die this death. And he had to die this death in the fashion in which he died. Lord, have mercy. Because if he didn't die in the fashion in which he died, then you and I will have to pay some of the cost. And I want you to understand that you and I cannot pay this cost. We can't handle what Jesus could handle. Lord, have mercy. God wants us to understand that he's still teaching. And in his teaching, he wants us to know that Christ had to die in the fashion in which he died. Because God wants to do three things. He wants to prick your heart, intrigue your mind, and wash your soul clean. Lord, have mercy. I'm already about to shout. I'm trying to retain myself, because I know which from where I've come, and I have an idea of where I'm going. Anybody here know where you're going? Somebody ought to know that God has set it up so that you can make it to heaven. Despite you, you can make it to heaven. I hope you heard what I said. Despite you, you can make it to heaven. Thank God for being such a God that he sent the Holy Ghost to teach us some things. And when we look at this text, there are arguments about this text that theologians believe that Christ was crucified without the Holy Spirit and God being there. And they believe that the Holy Spirit, being holy like God, could not be there. The Bible shares with us, remember, when Christ cried out, he asked, "Why have thou forsaken me?" And we understand that God had to turn his back on Christ because God cannot be a part of sin. So theologians argue that the Holy Spirit was not present at Christ's death because he, being like God, could not be there and be a part of sin. Well, I want you to know I argued that point. Because when you look at all that transpired, someone had to be in control. There was too much on the line in order for God just to allow things to happen the way that man could make it happen. God had to orchestrate some things. He had to put some things in order so that we can be saved. What are you talking about, Reverend? Well, when you look at the text, if you pay attention to the last couple of verses that I read, verse 35 and verse 36 says this, "And he saw it bear record." And his record is what? True. "And he knoweth that he saith true, that what? Ye might believe." So that shares with us that things happen at the cross in such a manner so that you and I would believe. Let me help you understand something here. The way that the Romans crucified people, it was not a quick death. It was a long, slow, drawn-out torment that was built to dehumanize the person who was being crucified. And it took them 2 days to actually die. And they died by suffocation. I guess if you look at the way that the Romans did things, they did help out a little bit. They nailed them to the cross. And I know you say, "Well, Reverend, what are you talking about?" But not only did they nail them to the cross, but they tied them to the cross as well. The nails was meant so when they couldn't breathe, they could push up or pull up on the nails so they can spread their lungs and get some air. But when they couldn't get air, they were being suffocated by their body attacking itself. And so when we look at how Christ was dying, we find that the spirit, which is not the spirit of God, looks to suffocate us. The enemies that you fight wants to suffocate you. That's why when they attack you, you feel like you're being overwhelmed. Let me ask you this question. Anyone ever felt the pain of drowning or being suffocated? You know, when you're young, you know, you play a lot. I'm one of those black people who did go swimming. I don't know about many of you, but I went swimming. And I went swimming a lot. And sometimes my friends, we would play a game where we would grab you and pull you underwater. If you ever been pulled underwater and you weren't ready for it, you are overwhelmed with the idea that I'm about to die. And even when you play pillow fighting, and sometimes you know, you play with your brother or your sister, and you put that pillow on their head and you hold it there, and they kick in their legs because they feel overwhelmed with the idea that they are going to die. The enemy wants you to feel overwhelmed when he attacks you. The enemy wants you to feel like there is no way for you to make it through. The enemy wants you to feel like you are going to lose it, as if you are going to die. But I want you to know that God has set it up so there's always a way for you to feel like you're going to be victorious. He has set it up so that you're always a conqueror. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Our God is strategic in how he set things up. The enemy has built this thing so that you will die and die slowly. It's meant to embarrass you. It's meant to attack you. It's meant to make you feel like you're less than. It's meant to make you feel like an outcast. It's meant to make you feel like no one loves you. But what God wants you to know, he is always present. No matter what you're going through, he's always present. Even for Christ, when he was on the cross and he felt like God had turned his back on him, the Holy Spirit was still there. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit being there. How you know, Reverend? Well, when you look at the text, the text says this. It says the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. In other words, they went to Pilate to ask that, let's take them down early. Let's not leave them up there for 2 days, because tomorrow is going to be Passover. And how will it look that we have a dying Savior on the cross during Passover? So what they decided to do is go ahead and make sure that they're dead by breaking their legs. And when they broke the people who was being crucified legs, they couldn't push up in order to gain more air. And because they couldn't gain more air, that made them die faster. So they looked to make them die faster, which is a blessing for us. How is that, Reverend? Well, the text said that when they got to Jesus, the soldier became disobedient. What do you mean? He didn't break Jesus' legs. And let me tell you that this did not happen by happenstance, because when a Roman soldier disobeyed a direct order, he was punished severely, even unto death. So when this soldier decided not to follow instructions and break Jesus' leg, he did something that you and I needed to be done. He pierced Jesus in the side. And when he pierced him in his side, he struck Jesus hard. Lord have mercy. I don't think y'all see where I'm going. When he struck Jesus hard, out came blood and water. Do you know what the blood and water represents? The blood and water represents that our sins have been washed clean. The blood and water represents that we have been made whole. The Holy Spirit made this soldier do what he will probably never do, which is disobey a direct order, so that you and I can realize that Jesus died this death so that we can live a life free from sin. Somebody ought to give God some praise. He gave us the ability to be free from being embarrassed. He gave us the ability to be free from being looked down and talked about. He gave us the ability to be free from our embarrassment of ourselves. He set us free not only spiritually, but mentally. He set us free. As a Christian, I know people saying I have mental issues because I have so much stress in my life. But if you got Christ, you shouldn't have stress, because he said that you can cast all your cares on me. He says, as a matter of fact, try me and I'll make your burdens light. Somebody ought to give God some praise. And then finally, the Holy Ghost said things were done so that we would know that they were intentional, because they were done in the fashion where they fulfill Scripture. Psalms 34 and 20 says this, that he protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. The Holy Spirit teaches us a lesson that Jesus still yet kept Scripture pure. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Remember in the Bible, Christ said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. His death fulfilled the law. And because his death fulfilled the law, you and I now live under grace. We have been given a gift. The gift is that we don't have to live a perfect life. Some of y'all don't hear me because some of y'all think y'all perfect. You don't have to live a perfect life, but you ought to live a life that's striving to be what God has called you to be. You should live a life that's striving to show love. You should live a life that's striving to create peace. You should live a life that's striving to unite. Because he fulfilled the law, we ought to be living a life that's one that's pleasing in his sight. And if we do so, we'll be like what Romans 5, 16 and 9 said, we receive that gift. And Romans 16 and 9 says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to contaminate, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. If we do what he has called us to do, if we can live the life he has called us to live, he has promised us a life that's filled with abundance, peace, love, and joy. Church, if you want to know why chaos is still in your life, you're not striving to live like him. If you can't find peace, you're not striving. If you can't find love, you're not striving. If you can't find understanding, you're not striving. The Holy Ghost is trying to teach us that if we live, since he already died for all of our sins, if we live the life that he has called us to live, you will be considered to be righteous. And when you're considered to be righteous, some things come along with that. Love comes with being righteous. Peace comes with being righteous. Joy comes with being righteous. Understanding comes with being righteous. Don't let the cross be just a thing that you wear around your neck or something that you have up in your house or something that you have in the church. But let your life reflect the power of the cross. Because if your life reflects the power of the cross, then you honor him in your living. And when you honor him in your living, he honors you while you are here. Know that you've already been saved. Know that grace abides with you. But in order for you to live the life he intends for you to live, you got to remember that you're already set free. And all you have to do is honor him in all that you do. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are open. If there will be one, the time is now. And the Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely there shall come a time when God cannot be found. save your God a hand clap of praise. Let us bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you for all that you've done for us and for all that you're going to do for us. We're so thankful that you died for our sins of yesterday, our sins of today, and our sins of tomorrow. For surely as men, we live in sin and commit sin, even if we don't know that we're sinning. For we learn that we sin by commission and by omission. Sins we know about and sins we don't know about. So, Master, we pray that you continue to be with us. Allow thy Holy Spirit, who now dwells in us, to lead and guide us to a place of righteousness, that one day that we can stand before you and be not ashamed, but joyous in our union. We ask now that you do this for us as we leave this place. Allow thy Holy Spirit to continue to seal us in the body of Christ, so that when we come and face the enemy, that we can stand with power and not submit ourselves to him. We ask now of these things as we leave this place. Watch over, protect us, and keep us until we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It is in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let all hearts say amen.